Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. In the opera Faust, there's a fight to the finish between Satan and the young man Valentine. During the course of the fight, Satan breaks Valentine's sword and he stands poised to slay him. But the young boy takes the two pieces of his broken sword and fashions them into a cross. Confronted with this symbol of faith, Satan becomes immobilized and Valentine is saved. It's an interesting concept, I think. It's a dramatic demonstration of faith. Unfortunately, such resolution of faith does not always save you. In fact, it might very well be your deathbed. It was certainly that for John. I hope that you'll take just a look with me this morning at this story that is so strangely stuck in the middle of our Gospels. John, as we're told, has been arrested by King Herod. And why? Well, because John kept telling Herod over and over again that even the king is not above the law. He said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So this was the king's sin. He had stolen his brother's wife, Herodias. Now, it would be understandable if this is where the story ended. The king didn't like a desert preacher calling him a sinner, so he had him beheaded. Simple enough. But life, as all of us know, is not that simple. There is usually more to a story than meets the eye. And this, of course, is the case that we learn about Herod, who actually liked listening to John, we're told, who believed that he was a holy man, and we're told he protected him. Perhaps in Herod's mind, putting him under lock and key was a way of removing him from harm's way. So if the king was offended by John's outburst, it was not enough to warrant death. The king feared the prophet, we're told, and dared not harm him. But life has a funny way of preparing us and eventually pressuring us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. This, my friends, is a story about that. A story about a man who caved due to social pressure. So let me ask you right here and now, how do life's pressures affect your judgment? What can we learn from this deplorable moment in the life of this king? The moment when the king caved. Well, we learn first, I think, that puzzling problems require conscientious decisions. There were two brothers in Georgia during the 1950s. One decided that in opposition to the dominant culture of the day, that he was going to participate in the formation of a desegregated community. The other brother worked as an attorney for a prominent law firm. Both were Christians and attended church regularly together. As the community formed and social pressure forced the community into court proceedings, the one brother asked his attorney brother to help them with the legal work. But the brother refused, saying that he very likely would lose his job. He pressured his brother to help with a reminder that you're a Christian. You should step up. This is a call. The other brother, the lawyer, responded, I will follow Jesus to the cross. But it is his cross. I have no need to be crucified. To that, his brother replied, then you are an admirer of Jesus, but not a disciple. I found that most of the answers we apply to the problems in life are the best only second and third, or are at best only the second and third best answers. They are never the first answer. Why is this? It's because we don't want to address puzzling moral dilemmas head on, because it would mean facing them hard on. Look at Herod. He finds himself in this terrible, difficult situation. He's made an oath, which according to the culture and the legal customs of his day, he must keep. But keeping the oath means killing a man of God. Does he keep the oath or execute the prophet? Now it appears that he's confronted with two choices. And it seems obvious that the best possible answer is to break his oath and save the man of God. But this is not the best answer to this issue, at least in his mind. The best answer would be to get rid of his wife, Herodias. Not because she's a source of contention, but because she's not his wife in the first place. When you find yourself in a puzzling moral dilemma, it is wise to look at what got you in the dilemma in the first place. What warning did you not heed? King Herod's problem is that he would not heed the original warning. John kept telling him over and over, but he wouldn't listen. When this happens, we slowly work our way into the woods. Finally, we're lost in those woods, and we don't know what got us in there in the first place. Is the issue my wife? Is the issue the oath I chose to make? Is the issue that you don't persecute holy men? Nope. The issue is still and always will be the first one. You're in an adulterous relationship. You have stolen your brother's wife, and you must repent. This brings us, I think, to a second lesson. Promises made in haste create great waste. A greater example of this can be found in the words of George W. Bush's campaign promise. You all probably remember this. Read my lips. No new taxes. It was a great line at the moment, and it helped him win that election. But it became his undoing, and in his re-election campaign, it didn't help him at all. Promises and decisions made in haste. They will bring down empires, topple kings, destroy businesses, ruin marriages, cripple lives, drive wedges between us and our children. These decisions can haunt us for years to come. When Herod heard about Jesus and all that he was doing, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Herod thought that God brought John back to life to get even with him. He knew his acts were wrong, and they hung around his neck like an albatross. What got Herod in this predicament? Like any good story, it was a pretty girl. But this was no ordinary girl. This was his wife's daughter, his stepdaughter, who either because the veils hid her identity or the king simply had never met her, was able to deceive the king. He was so pleased with her provocative dance that he promised her anything. She runs out, consults with her mother, and then makes the damaging request before the king and all the gathered guests. What does she want? The head of the holy man. I suppose that Herodias felt embarrassed by John. He would not stop pointing out that her sin, as well as that of her husband's. So she concocted this scheme to finish John for good. History does not record for us what happened to the marriage between Herod and Herodias after this incident. But I'm pretty sure their marriage was not a bed of roses. Whatever their situation, it's obvious that the king's conscience bothered him thereafter. What a waste. A marriage is destroyed by a covetous, powerful brother. A mother uses her daughter in a murderous scheme. A prophet is killed. A king commits murder to save his honor over a stupid oath. What a waste. All because a powerful man was not able to see his original error. And he makes a promise in haste. Finally, this brings us to our third and final lesson from this story. Pressures in life can affect good judgment. We all know that. We all understand that. But how many of us really pay attention to it? Now, let me tell you, it doesn't matter your station in life. All of us experience pressures, and they come at us every day. And these pressures will influence the decisions you make. Lloyd Ogilvie, in his book, Life Without Limits, tells the story of a pastor who, in the space of 1 week, heard the following comments from various people. He heard a woman say, I'm under tremendous pressure from my son these days. I can't seem to satisfy him. However hard I work, he really puts me under pressure. A young man said, my parents have fantastic goals for me to take over the family business. but it's not what I want to do. But their pressure is unbearable. A husband said, my wife is never satisfied. Whatever I do, however much money I make, it's never enough. Life with her is like living in a pressure cooker with the lid fastened down and the heat turned on high. A middle-aged wife said, my husband thinks my life is silly. When I feel his resistance to Christ, I wonder if I'm wrong and confused. So as a result, I've developed two lives, one with him and one with my Christian friends. All of these persons have one thing in common. They're being pressured by other people. We all, at one time or another, experience people pressure. The question is, how will it affect our judgment? That is the question that Herod faced. After making an oath to a pretty young girl that she could have half of his kingdom if she only would request it, she surprised him and asked for something very different. Mark chapter 6, verse 26 indicates that the king was thrown into distress. He knew it was wrong, but because of his oath and the presence of his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. He sent the executioner on a platter was delivered the head of John the Baptist. When you find yourself in the middle of difficult situations, one which requires you to make an important decision, remember first that puzzling problems require conscientious decisions. And second, promises made in haste create good waste. And finally, that the pressures of life can, do, and will affect good judgment. This is our reflection at the end of John the Baptist. Amen.